Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Wednesday, December 6th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
We have Wendy Wilson joining us this afternoon for the first segment of the program today. But first, we're going to go ahead and get through these market prices. And again, gold's really not doing, considering all these record highs. Gold is still holding its own. 1265, down 160 today. Silver's down 10 cents at 1606. Platinum was down 14, a little over 1.5% at 905, but palladium was up 9 at 995. USDX today, of course, was stronger, 0.26 at 93.56. Crude oil took a beating today, down 1.69 at 55.93. But it certainly is holding its own around that 55 level. And the stock market today, why did they move my people? Just internets just can't leave things well enough alone, can they? Good grief.
They're making it better. They're like the government. They're here to help you. You may need a shrink to deal with all the help they're going to provide, but
just
really,
leave me alone. We have the Dow basically, 38 points to the downside at 24,142. The NASDAQ was up 14, 6,776. The S&P unchanged at 2,629. And let's see, the 10-year yield, 2.33%, down 0.03. And the euro was a little bit stronger, interesting, 0.03 at 118. And a lot of things to talk about today, many of which will impact the markets sooner or later. But first, we're going to have Wendy Wilson joining us today for this first segment of the program with Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Oh, good afternoon, Melody. And hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
Hey, Apothecary Herbs has a new product catalog. It'll be here on Friday. So anybody that wants a new one, you have to request it. So many people move now that, if we just mailed a catalog to our list, probably two-thirds would come back because people don't update their addresses. So if you want a catalog out there, you got to call and request one. I thought today we'd talk about the flexible genetic code. Have you heard about scientists kind of tinkering with DNA?
Absolutely.
A little bit about it.
A little bit. Well, during the last decade, actually, scientists have been kind of mapping, experimenting with human DNA. So the standard human DNA genome, the genetic code that makes us all are, humans, it has about 3 billion letters, and they call these base pairs. So science is saying that what makes a human being is in this code. And until recently, the code contained only 4 alphabet letters that represent the code. An A for Apple, a C for Charles, a G for George, and a T for Taco. So only 4 letters in different combinations would make up the genetic code for each individual. And, these genetic codes house instructions for the living cells and for function. So the sequences of your letters actually determines the code and differences that makes Al Al and Melody Melody. So, but according to science, DNA code, that's what's responsible for all forms of living life on planet Earth, but it's attempting to add. They're going to add to this code. So what possibly could go wrong, right?
Sounds like a brilliant idea to me. I mean, exactly. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, God has set limits. He says 4 letters is enough in different sequences, but science says I don't think so. So the scientists, they kind of remind me of World War II Morse code experts. They're experimenting with the code. And so there's now this special area within scientific medicine that's dedicated to learning DNA code and becoming fluent in the language of creation. So what science has stated is that these 4-digit codes, it's limited. It restricts creative potential. So science, not shy in expressing.
Does this also restrict the opportunity to copyright and patent things and make a profit?
Probably, where, mm-hmm. Your baby pops out and they're going to check the DNA and say, oh, you owe us a royalty fee. You know, I'm laughing, but hey, it could happen. It's so
I guarantee
bizarre.
That's what they have in mind.
Well, science isn't really shy about expressing what they want to expand on nature's abilities. And, of course, you know, it's presented in a way to better serve mankind.
Yeah.
So the scientists have made artificial new DNA strands, and they made it for experimenting with the bacteria E. coli. And they did this in the lab at Scripps Research Institute in California. And the lead scientist was Dr. Floyd Romsberg. So he created these two new bases of DNA strands. He labeled them X and Y. So now you've got A, C, G, T, X, and Y in the genetic code, according to science. So this was hailed as this huge breakthrough, and science has expressed the desire to take these new DNA organisms and have them manufacture new proteins. And this is important. Of course, you know, this is presented, you know, as a medical positive. They say it's going to help resolve diseases that have plagued mankind from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Now, the roadmap to manufacturing these proteins is found in the sequences within the genetic code that include amino acids. And there's like 20 known amino acids that can be arranged to form the different patterns. Now, according to Romsberg, they are going to focus on using this knowledge to make custom medications using customized proteins. So they said in the forefront of all these customized drugs, they're going to be used to treat immune system diseases, cancer, and probably just about everything. So here is a quote from Dr. Romsberg himself. He says, "Rewriting the code of life will allow scientists to produce unnatural amino acids, which can join together to form proteins with unprecedented functions. The possibilities are limitless. Pharmaceutical companies have already sent the FDA investigational drug profiles using these new proteins. This new drug pipeline is going to be worth $31 billion to the drug companies."
See?
Mm-hmm.
You would think this isn't just scientific research for the pursuit of knowledge. This is all about build a better mousetrap, and you can, you know, you can charge a lot of money for it.
Well, you know, I had a question when I was reading this. I said, you know, why use synthetic ones? You know, and that was one concern that some people in the industry had. Instead of using the natural proteins, why are they using synthetic ones? Why are they creating those? Well, according to Romsberg, he says, and some others that he's working with, his colleagues, they say the natural sources of enzymes are not easily made into customized drugs because their molecules are larger. So what they're doing is that they're expanding the genetic alphabet. They're using synthetic code to do it. And they say the possibilities for drug companies to make more customized drugs are endless. So by manipulating these patterns of DNA code, they can change sequences and incorporate other forms of proteins, amino acids, and create all kinds of different outcomes. So
well,
this is really... Oh, go ahead. What?
When they say they're going to have customized products.
Right.
I believe they mean that they can create an anti-cancer drug for me that will be customized to my genome,
mm-hmm.
and it won't work for you, and it won't
right.
work for Melody.
Right.
And if I want it, that means if I want protection against cancer, I can't just go down to the grocery store, down to the drugstore and buy the same product everyone else is using.
Right.
I have to have enough money to have a particular drug custom manufactured from my genome, and it means if you can't afford the customization, you're going to die.
Probably. It's almost like, you know, allergy shots. You know, they customize that serum for you, right? And you know, God knows what's going to do, because if anybody that's ever gone for allergy shots, you know, you read the literature, if you're sitting in the doctor's offices, and it tells you you have to hang around the office for 20, 30 minutes because they want to check, make sure you don't have a reaction. And they put it so, you know, basic and benign. And if you ask them, well, you know, what kind of reaction do you expect? You know, because what would you think of a reaction? A rash, swelling, you know, hives. Would you think about
fever.
That? Okay. Well, no, they're worried about respiratory arrest. That's what you can get from customized drugs.
You know, what could go wrong? You know, what could possibly go wrong?
This is the birth of semi-synthetic organisms, is what you're seeing.
I understand.
Here. So according to the scientists like Romsberg, he says science is helping creation evolve. He says science thinks creation needs a little help, a little push in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for looking at these four letters God put in the human genome, the DNA code. They look at it as being somewhat arbitrarily there, and that
primitive.
It wasn't. And they say it wasn't, quote, evolution's choice to have those four. You know, so they kind of talk about evolution as it was an entity of sorts.
Yep.
It's kind of weird. So they suggest that life on Earth could have been so much better if based on other genetic systems. Now, kind of obvious that science doesn't like limitations. However, limits can be safety measures, you know, prohibiting something quite disastrous, you know. I look at the scriptures when I read this stuff, and, you know, they're kind of stepping on God's copyright here. And, you know, if you look at Matthew 24 and Mark 13, in the latter days of the tribulation, there would be no flesh saved alive. And I'm looking at this science, and I'm wondering how much of that's going to be involved with that outcome.
You know what it reminds me of? It's like bringing an invasive species from, say, China and installing it in the Everglades in Florida.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they have no natural predators that predate on the new species, and it flourishes. It goes wild. It can be plants. It can be animals. And
right.
Next thing you know, you've got a problem you can't. And that's what they're talking about.
Right.
This is, this is just astonishing, amazing.
It's disturbing, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
It's sort of like kudzu that came over from the
Asian
continent.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, here's what Romsberg says again. He says, we are now able to replicate unnatural DNA, and the things that one could do with semi-synthetic organisms are pretty mind-blowing. End of quote. I'm like scared. What is he talking about? What is he thinking of? You know,
he's thinking of something that's almost like a robot. You know, people are, oh my God, the robots are coming. No, they're nothing. They've got something biological coming that'll be bigger and better than the robots. I mean, the robots ought to be afraid. Something's coming. It may eat robots. Who knows what this is going to do?
Well, according to some physicians and scientists, they said this DNA code technology, mixing it with creation and new treatment, is going to change the landscape of healthcare for sure. They said with billions of dollars hanging in the balance, this new generation of care, one can only guess at what the outcomes will be. Actually, Eric Topol, he is also at Squibb's Translational Science Institute. He says there's so many of these new technologies coming out. It's going to be a new frontier for rendering care. Like you mentioned, if you don't have the money, you can't get your drug.
Yeah.
So, there's this dark side, like you've pointed out or suggested in this technology area, because making healthcare kind of transitional to more full service tech solutions, it's going to have its problems, because the American Institute in the medical science area, they are warning that putting too much trust into databases, artificial intelligence, is going to have some serious drawbacks. They say the technology will only be as good as it was programmed to be. They said streamlining healthcare through technology such as the internet and robots may project a lower cost and improve outcomes. That's what they'll project for. But they say it's also going to wind up costing much more than ever expected, and there's going to be glitches creating damage. So,
you know, when they say creating damage, it's like creating a python in the Everglades with wings that can fly all the way to New York. This is not just creating a little bit of it's not just a little problem for the Everglades. It's something fantastic, and it's a problem for everyone.
Right. Well, the kind of damage they were talking about, according to the medical science education area, they were saying it's of great concern to them, because some people in the medical industry seeing the writing on the wall, they say where the patients will encounter irreparable harm. In other words, I mean, they mentioned this and my jaw opened when they mentioned this. They said, how about a heart transplant done by a robot, and the organ is made by a robot out of synthetics from a 3D printer? That's a plastic heart, folks.
Yeah, I guess.
So there's all kind of consequences when we replace organs with plastic parts. I mean,
does this mean on Valentine's Day you send your girlfriend a heart full of plastic chocolate?
I don't know. It's just too bizarre to even comment on. Sometimes I just shake my head and go, "Oh Lord, hurry up and get here."
Yeah, I understand.
Well, I'm sticking with the plant-based health care. I don't know about anybody else, because I don't think God intended us to be burdened with our health care. So we have really tremendous power already. So we have options that can care for our well-being, our health, even our elder care people are so worried about. So, like, if you went from the junk food diet, Al, Melody, to a healthy one, science even admits you change your DNA within 6 days for the better. So imagine what you can accomplish if you cleanse away poisons and toxins and refresh the system with medicinal herbs and strengthen it and also boost immune system function. You have the power to make non-emergency healthcare obsolete.
I don't think you even just have the power. I think increasingly you have the necessity.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like if you don't do it, you are exposing yourself to do as much harm from the medical establishment as you might have from whatever disease that's afflicting you.
Well, I mean, we got to remember Satan's down here. This is his playground we're in. And so what better way to hurt mankind, the image of God, than to have a healthcare system that's really a sick care system?
Yeah,
you know?
I understand.
So I think, you know, if God says from Genesis to Revelation, I mean, it's right there. We can read it for ourselves that, you know, herbs are here for health and healing, and he can't lie. I think, you know, we'd be remiss not to trust that. So it's there for a reason. We just need to read it. Read it, read it, read it.
Really disturbing. The whole idea here that you're helping us to understand right now is... And this is the kind of idea you might expect to find once every 10 years. Okay, we get a disturbing idea. We don't. We get a disturbing idea every couple of days or weeks.
Well, the Bible says in the latter days, the wicked would wax worse and worse, and love would wax cold. So this is what you're seeing. You're just getting the tip. It's the tip of the iceberg for sure, and that's what's really scary is we're not even in the thick of it yet.
Well, why don't you give us a little contact information, Wendy?
Well, sure. We got a new catalog. It'll be mailed out on Monday if you want to request one. The number to call is 866-229-3663. This is our 2018 edition. 866-229-3663. For those who have technology, want to go on the website, thepowerherbs.com, you can download the catalog. The new one's up there to your computer. So if you want to look at it, it's right there on the website, thepowerherbs.com. So, you know, that's where your healthcare options just became endless.
Thank you, Wendy. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. Give her a call. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
We will find you acting on your best.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. TheSoundRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs.
Well, we'll have to see if they shut down government at the end of the week. This is the big thing coming up this weekend. I mean, there's a lot of things going on, but I think this was a little humorous. Christmas is coming early. Woohoo! Ho, ho, ho! And but again, they're looking at possibly if they don't get the extended funding for the agencies by December 8th, we'd see some sort of shutdown. But, you know, the shutdown's
the world
a big
will
deal
come to an end.
But so that's something. And you don't hear anybody. But you know what? It isn't a big deal, but it is a big deal. Because you don't hear any of them talking about it. You don't hear any politician talking about it. You don't hear any politician talking about the amount of debt that we have anymore. You don't hear any politician that talks about the concerns of the debt ceiling. You know, so it is a big deal to that degree. You know, and everybody makes
it is odd that they're not talking about the debt ceiling, and that's a fact. Every time we've come up and had to face this in the past,
they can't
there's
talk
a
about
big
it.
Drama. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Yeah. And then they just extend it. This time, there's not a big hullabaloo coming into the debt ceiling deadline, and you got to wonder why is that?
Well, because they have to get they're getting the tax reform done. That's why they can't say how much we're deep in debt and worry about those things.
Oh,
and then get
I think that's probably right. So, they can't say, oh my gosh, the debt ceiling, but we're going to cut taxes.
So what's going to happen is they don't have this through yet so if government does shut down, the Forest, Service and Timbuktu shuts down or something like that, how are they going to get the tax reform through? So, because they will have to discuss it, and that will have to go on the back burner. I don't know. So it's going to see how these two play out together. And I don't think anybody has an idea of exactly what or might happen, but it's interesting.
Sounds to me like we have to go deeper into debt.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
But the U.S. today is slapping, and the main thing I want to talk about is, I do want to talk a little bit about Israel. The U.S. is slapping heavy taxes on steel imports from Vietnam, saying China is using the country as a way to dodge the earlier penalties. American steelmakers complained last year that these Chinese companies seem to be avoiding the huge tariffs and that they're diverting the products to Vietnam for minor processing before they're shipped to the U.S. So the Commerce Department today hit Vietnam with duties of more than 500% on cold rolled steel that's based on Chinese materials and over 200% on corrosion resistant steel with similar origins. So steel has been a major point of trade friction between the U.S. and China. And China, the world's biggest producer of the metal, they've just been flooding the markets and everything. American European steelmakers have accused China of dumping it, as I just said. So it'll be interesting. But you know what? Yeah, just add more tariffs. It's one way to get inflation because prices will go higher.
I don't know. Just sit there and shake your head and say, oh my gosh. You know, I think I've maybe told this story before, but a friend of mine, Rick Christensen, his grandmother back when I was in high school, which is back in the 1960s, his grandmother, she was an elderly lady, 80 years old, and she used to say she stopped thinking about technology back when they came out with radio. And from that point on, that was when radio came out. She thought, well, that was cool, but she didn't pay attention after that. If you wanted to put his grandmother on a rocket ship, she'd get right on the rocket ship and go. She just trusted all the technology. None of it amazed her. None of it impressed her. We're kind of getting to a situation where you almost can't allow yourself to be impressed, because there's going to be something tomorrow that's even more impressive, and the day after that there's going to be more, and then there's going to be more. And you have to just kind of sit back. And I don't know that it's a good thing, but it's the sort of thing you almost have to do just to protect your own mind. You can't just sit there and say, wow, wow, wow. And that's what's coming at us.
Yeah, and so, and they're not all good.
No, I know. It's astonishing.
It is. It truly is.
I've got a little article here from Visual Capitalist. And they are, and the headline is, "Can Predictive Data Revolutionize Capital Markets?" And what they're talking, what the article is talking about, is the idea that they can begin to use data in a way that is more reliable in terms of predicting what's going to happen in the markets, whether the market's going up, whether it's going down, sideways, whatever, and what's the price going to be tomorrow, or a minute from now, or half a second from now. They're going to try to advance into predictive data. All right? They're going to try to make headway there. And in the process, they say, but in the article says, but first some context. Big data is a big challenge. What exactly are investors up against? And they say, first off, volume. The creation of data is accelerating so fast that in 2017, there will be more new data in existence than in the last 5,000 years of human history combined. They are telling us we're going to produce as much new data this year as we have, not just more than we did last year, more than we did in the previous 5,000 years, coming at us in 1 year. Every minute, the U.S. creates, what do they got here? 2,657,000 gigabytes of data. That's equivalent to over 100,000 Blu-ray discs. Again, that's per minute. All right, not per year, per minute. And the third, next point, variety. Data is not uniform. There are many types of data, and they must be processed and interpreted differently. We not only have text data, we have graphics data, sound data, video data. We have data that's structured, semi-structured, quasi-structured, and unstructured. Different types of data. And then we have velocity. Especially in the markets, data needs to be monitored in real time to be useful. And bear in mind that this article is about investors using data in order to make intelligent decisions on what to do in the market, and it said, especially in the market, data needs to be monitored in real time to be useful. That means you can't sleep if you're an investor. You've got to be watching this every single minute. Information that is too late might make a trade impossible or mean zero liquidity in a crisis. No living man or woman can monitor and understand all of the incoming data relevant to particular markets. There is too much data coming in at too high a velocity for any living man or woman to fully perceive, comprehend, or act on. The information overload could explain why many market participants have evolved from investors, who historically studied the market fundamentals, into speculators who only pay attention to price trends. If the price is rising, they buy. If the price is falling, they sell. This is exactly contrary to a fundamental economic principle that's lasted for thousands of years. You buy low and you sell high. The speculators do not buy low and sell high. They buy when it's going up and they sell when it's going down. It's a completely different mindset. And I don't even know that it can work, even in this bizarre context. And the point in all of this is that the information is moving so fast, none of us are capable of actually keeping track of it. Wendy was talking about the problems we're having in medicine, and they're going to start changing DNA, and they have new research. This is part and parcel of what we're talking about. There's no telling what some kid in a garage with a couple of computers, he may discover something that'll wipe the whole system out. I mean, we live in strange, strange times. And how this is all going to work out, it really does start to sound more and more like Revelation in the Bible. It sounds like, in the end times, you're going to have more information, more people running around. I don't know. This is unprecedented, and we are not, as a species, capable. We're not capable of digesting all this information. We're finding more in a year than they found in the previous 5,000 years, at least according to Visual Capitalist. That's scary. I mean, that's the sort of thing you just sit back and you shake your head. You can ignore it like my friend's grandmother used to do, but I don't think we can safely, I don't know how we can ignore it. I don't know how we can comprehend it. I don't know how we can ignore it. What are we going to do, Melody?
Well, we accept it.
Well, we can't get away from it. But
can't get away from it. So you either learn it, you deal with it, you process it, or you're left behind. And I mean, certainly and it's not so much the older generation, the baby boomers and so forth, but when you look at the youth, you know, you look at these young kids today, and they have no problem. And
they think they have no problem.
Till they, they get old,
yeah, right.
And then
wait
they
till
realize.
They get old. And what does that mean? They've turned 16. You're old now.
You're old now.
Yeah, you're 16. You're not sweet 16. You're elderly 16. You're too old. You can't keep up. You know? Put them in a home when
truly
they turn 16.
Is. The speed in which things are unfolding and these mm-hmm. new ideas, they are frightening to some degree. They're very, I don't know if they're, I mean, you read stories about where you have AI that's looking to create other computers, and it's just like you have this intelligence that is supposed to be taking over the world, and even your computer experts, your Musks, your, you know, all of these, you know, Gates and
Elon Musk he's worried about it.
They're all saying that the AI is going to be the end of civilization.
Yeah, maybe
all
the
of
end
them.
Of our species.
All of them.
I saw
not
an article yesterday where
it's true sci-fi.
Google has computers. The Google have used their own computers to design. The computers are independently designing a new robot. All right?
That's what I was talking
it's
about.
Not,
yeah,
it's not,
like
it's not we. It's not
yeah.
we the people are designing a new robot. Well, let's do this. No, the computer is designing the new robot, and the robot is able to perceive 87% of visual stimulus. It's not 100% yet, but they are 87%, which is a remarkable, which is much better than anything that can be done by a robot manufactured by man. We are talking about machines making machines. We're not even in the loop. I don't know.
But how much of this is true?
I don't doubt for a minute that it's true. I don't doubt the question.
Are these ideas? Are these ideas and attempts? Are these ideas and attempts? Or is this, you know, are these things being created to the reality today?
You won't be able to prevent it. Because if we don't do it, I mean, the argument is going to be.
I mean, they can't even
improve
the fax machine.
Or the Japanese will.
They can't even improve on the fax machine.
Come on. It's like improving on buggy whips or something.
Well,
like,
you know what? At least they should.
Nobody needs a buggy whip anymore. Fax machine. Come on. It's ancient technology, Melody.
But they haven't
showing your
it.
Age. It's a fax machine.
Well, they should.
I mean, that's what these kids are. They're going on 16 and say, "Oh, did she say a fax machine?
What is it?
What is it? A fax machine?
What is a fax machine?
So I think I know what it is. It's one of those things where they have this big trumpet next to some kind of a record player.
You might laugh at fax machines, but fax machines are very still used heavily in business.
Well, it may be.
So, but, you know, you can't. You know, just laugh at my fax machine, but now my typewriters, you can't.
I have to take whatever opportunity to laugh I can find, Melody, because
thanks.
None of it is getting all that funny anymore. It's again, a certain amount of Undertaker's humor here. It's like, oh my
but
God.
But anyway, it is. And as I said to you during break, I says technology is one thing if it's really used for good and so forth. But there is such evil in the world that, you know, It won't.
Now, wait a second, now, Melody. You're telling me I shouldn't be criticizing your fax machine because it's still useful and the rest of that sort of thing. If you think the fax machine, if you think that's not outdated, what about your idea that technology should be used for good? I guarantee you, nobody's using it for good. They don't investigate this stuff. Oh, I'm a scientist. I research things. Who are you working for? What kind of patents and copyrights are you producing? How much profit do you expect to make for your corporation?
General population believes a lot of that is being used for good.
Uh-huh.
So
that's certain. They believe a lot of the general population believes in Santa Claus, too.
They do.
Easter Bunny and the rest of that sort of thing. And, I don't know. The way things are going, they may be able to produce an Easter Bunny. We always thought the Easter Bunny was a myth. Maybe not. With the new genetic programming, with add a few X's and Y's, and we may have an Easter Bunny. Maybe one for every community or one for every family. What do you have to feed the Easter Bunny, Melody?
Gold.
Gold?
Gold. So people need to buy it. But now what a strange, strange world we live. For sure.
Yeah. And, you know, those statistics I was reading, you know, that they're concerned how they plan to use predictive data in the markets. What they're telling us, they're just telling you, it's not possible to comprehend what's happening. And that's what's so dangerous about this. There is nobody, once you turn this, Google is letting its computer generate robots. And they're better than man-made robots. And that's already. And they're going to get better yet, all right? Once you turn these things loose, and Wendy's talking about new creatures, new genetics, that means they're changing. They are threatening the genetic profile of the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Is in danger right now. We could find out 10 years from now that the whole world is nothing like it was 10 years ago. If somebody's going to tinker with some of this genetics, some kids are going to find out how to do this, and they're going to say, "Oh, let's mix a frog with something from our first grade teacher." I don't know what to do, Melody. I haven't had a drink. I haven't had any alcohol in 40 some years, but we are coming into a world where I don't know. Maybe it's time to belly up to the bar.
Maybe. I don't know. But it is certainly a bizarre. And I mean, you know, I mean, it's just utter shock. I mean, how do you comprehend? How do you understand? How do you understand? And it's...
It's frightening.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
We're going to take a break. A couple more commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every...
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And we have a caller. Yvonne is on the phone. Hello, Yvonne.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I was just listening, and I guess he didn't hear the latest news about Israel. But
no, I didn't get a chance to. Jerusalem is... Well, President Trump announced he's recognizing, he made a formal announcement today that he's recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital city and starting the process of moving the U.S. embassy there from Tel Aviv. And so there, I mean, it goes back a long time that presidents have wanted to do this, but they didn't. They just signed the waiver, and you know, as government is good to do, they just kick the can down the road.
In the past,
he says that he is determined that it is time to officially recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. While previous presidents have made this major campaign promise, they failed to deliver. Today, I am delivering. When he came into office, he promised to look at the world's challenges with open eyes and very fresh thinking. And he says, we have declined to acknowledge any Israeli capital at all. But today we finally acknowledge the obvious, that Jerusalem is Israel's capital. This is nothing more or less than a recognition of reality. It is also the right thing to do. It is something that has to be done. And I started looking you know, about what is, you know, why is this a big deal? And I think that's why what Ivan wants to talk about. But, you know, in 1989, Israel began leasing to the U.S. a plot of land in Jerusalem for a new embassy. The 99-year lease cost $1 per year. To this day, the plot has never been developed and it remains an empty field. And in 1995, the U.S. Congress passed a law requiring America to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Proponents of the U.S. should respect Israel's choice of Jerusalem as its capital and recognize it such. So it hasn't. Every president since 1995, Clinton, Bush, and Obama, they've all declined to move the embassy, citing national security interests. Every 6 months... That is amazing. Every 6 months, the president has used the presidential waiver to circumvent the embassy move. So every 6 months since 1995. I mean, isn't it kind of like a waste of time or something? But so it's kind of interesting. And certainly
it's
the leaders, all the leaders around the world are certainly concerned that the fears of the wave of unrest everyone is anticipating. And there are no embassies right now in Jerusalem. All of the embassies are in Tel Aviv as the United States embassy. So we will be the first, probably the only one.
We're there. Number one. We're number one. You know, one of the questions about this is where they've got space leased for the American embassy. But Jerusalem, of course, is an ancient city. Can we build a modern embassy there without changing the character of the city? And even if we don't change the character of the city particularly, what about the next nation. England's going to follow along. We're going to have people from France and the United Kingdom. There are going to be other nations, I'm going to guess, that are going to want to build there. Is there space, Yvonne, in Jerusalem to build more than one new embassy, or is it's a historical site?
Probably they'll knock down some of the Palestinian houses to make room, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, all right, nothing important, just the Palestinians' houses. But and I'm being facetious. What do you think is going to be the consequence, Yvonne?
Well, yeah, looking at there is about 8 million population in Palestine Israel. This is, I think, includes some of the Arabs, and there is on the other side you have over a billion of Muslims in, I think, there are 57 countries, Muslim countries around the world. We have over a billion of population. So from what I have heard so far is that Turkey and some of the other countries, even Jordan, is putting think about it, because they don't want to have Jerusalem, the capital of
Israel.
They should allow Jerusalem should be an open city, because there are three religions which are are tied together in at that spot. And you have the Christians, the Muslims, and the Jews. And you cannot just assume that you will take over the sites, the Christian sites, the Muslim sites, and Jewish would take their own sites. But the problem is that they are looking to build also a temple, in Jerusalem.
Yep.
Which Christ said that there won't be any temple built until he comes down from heaven with the new Jerusalem. So, and the temple where it was is not at the west wall, the western wall which they pray. The western wall is part of the old Roman Fort Antonia. If you Google the Fort Antonia and you look at the location of the fort, it was there where the present rock dome on the rock is located. And then in between you had the Herod Palace, and then was the temple. But the temple was totally destroyed, and Christ said when he was being led to crucifixion, that to the women, don't cry over me, but cry over your temple, because it's going to be gone. And they destroyed it all the way down to its foundations. There's not one, and he said, not one rock, stone upon stone will be left. And it never was left.
Which is evidence that the Western Wall was not really part of the temple.
No, absolutely not.
Insofar as the Western Wall is still there, then the presumption is that the temple was not there.
And it's part of, if you... I have a map of the layout of the Fort Antonia, Herod's Palace, and the old temple. Okay, which was the
they make in the description of the temple. They say something about it being located close to a stream, a source of water. And it's my understanding, I've seen a video on it, I haven't studied it, there is really only one open source of water in Jerusalem, and that is not at the Western Wall, but over at a different location as you are describing. Yeah. But what are the political implications going to be? What are we going to see for a reaction right now, and what do you think Trump was thinking about? I mean, we can expect this may precipitate some war. Is Trump saying, okay, we're ready? Is Trump being foolish on this? Or is he saying, we're ready. We're ready for you. What's happening here, Yvonne?
I was a Trump supporter, okay, but in the last few months I am changing my mind, because they are all the same. If it's Democrats or Republicans, there's one coin with two sides, okay? Oh. What I see that this Mueller thing is going to go so long that it'll entrap Trump, and by doing this, he will more or less light the match, or lead the match, to start a Third World War. That way, if anything comes up of this, Russia collusions and whatever, and now they are looking to his money in the Deutsche Bank and so on. So I think maybe he just said, well, I'll light up the match, we'll go into war, and everything will be forgotten.
Maybe. I'm looking at it. I'm wondering, the Syrian conflict appears to be coming to an end, if it's not ended already. Is this an alternative? We got to be fighting in the Middle East. If we can't fight in Syria, we'll be fighting somewhere, maybe Lebanon or where?
We will fight anywhere, or Korea, North Korea, anywhere where it will take the mind of the peoples, Americans and other Western, who support U.S., away from all these things about Trump and other people, and be worried about your life or your existence, food and so on, because then we'll be in a total war. It'll be a total war.
I would have agreed with you back, I don't know, just a week ago, but we did an article yesterday where we talked about. The mainstream media has tried to smear Roy Moore, guy running Republican, running for Senate down in Alabama. They've jumped on him every way they can, and it turns out that 71% of possible voters think Roy is just getting a bad deal out of the media. And the implication, I don't know what I'm not here to advocate for or against Roy Moore, but I'm here to say, wait a second, that's evidence that the public is not as susceptible to manipulation by the mainstream media as we have previously supposed. 71% are saying, despite all the mainstream media attacks on Roy Moore, they're not buying it. So I'm not sure that we can sit back and say, all right, we're going to start a war over here and it'll deceive the public. I don't know. Can government continue to deceive the public? Or is the public waking up and sitting back and saying, wait a second, we're not buying this malarkey anymore?
Yeah, but there is no other threat outside of voting. But if you have red, bombs coming at you or missiles or whatever, and there'll be everything will be reoriented toward a war economy, a war thing, then people will be more worried about themselves, as their lives, compared to worry about what Mueller is digging out or whatever he's
If they think there's a threat, they'll be all for it. Yeah.
How do we establish that threat? Can we establish a threat to the United States unless a bomb, without having some sort of explosive devices going off in the United States? Can we say there's a threat to the United States, but it's all confined to North Korea, and all we have to do is stomp on them and it's done? Or do we have to? Does a nuclear device have to go off in, say, Seattle?
Well,
does that make it real for us in a way that it's not real right now?
I would say that let's say they start a regular war, which is nothing is regular, but I mean, let's say a non-nuclear war. It'll be just, normal Second World War type of, nuclear bomb, but at the beginning was just straight.
I understand what you're saying. But, conventional explosives, tanks, bullets, rifles, bazookas.
So
non-nuclear
that way,
starts.
Yeah. So it might eventually come that there will be bombs being, because Russia, China, Iran are, you know, they have, they are more or less, they have a pact, okay, of any attack on them. Even China said any attack on North Korea, without North Korea attacking first, China will step in and protect North Korea. So,
do you think Trump is trying to goad North Korea into initiating an attack?
No, what they are going to do, they are going to be launching enough missiles that Trump or the U.S. will say, okay, let's hit them. And they might not hit them with a nuclear, but maybe with a MOAB, you know, they dropped in last few months ago.
Oh, you mean in Syria?
Not in Syria, but where was Al Qaeda? Where is Al Qaeda?
Assume,
but
Mosul but or whatever.
Yeah, it's.
We have about 30 seconds right now, so you got to be quick.
Okay. Well, anyway, what I'm saying that maybe he is trying to light up the match for a fire to start, and eventually, it will engulf the whole world. You know. So that's,
well, we're gonna have to let it go at that, Yvonne.
Okay.
Thank you for your call.
No problem.
I hope you tune in again tomorrow or next week. And thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Todd the producer, and Yvonne, our caller. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.